Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Lamed Ches. We are holding on daf Lamed Zayinam Beis, two lines from the bottom of the page. The Gemara is going to continue for a little bit until the Mishnah to discuss a case where a person gets ownership of a tree and how that affects ownership of the karka. But specifically today we're going to talk about if a person buys a tree, not does he own the karka around the tree and not about his general rights in the karka, but what about the karka directly underneath the tree? Does he own the karka? Let's say the Bala karka wants to dig a 100 amos underground, but it goes underneath the tree and he wants to dig a cave. Does he have the rights to do that, or does the Bali Ilan have the rights? But the Gemara is specifically going to discuss if the tree dies, can the person who bought the tree replant on that same exact spot, or does he not own any karka whatsoever? Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to talk about if you have people in different locations. The Machzik is in one location with the karka, the Ma'arer, the Marakama, is in a different location. Does a chazaka work when the ma'arer, when the marakama, is nowhere to be found, is nowhere in the vicinity of the karka? So we're going to have a machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, and that's going to lead us in the Gemara into a discussion of mecha'a shalo b'fanav. Does mecha'a shalo b'fanav, can you make a mecha'a when it's not in front of the person who's being machzik? Is such a mecha'a effective? And Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have two versions of a discussion between Rav and Shmuel, whether a person could have a chazaka in the land that belongs to somebody who had to flee. In Nichse Boreach, the person had to flee town, so can you have a chazaka in his land? Maybe he's afraid to make a macha'a. He had to flee for a reason. He doesn't want to be found. And if he makes a macha'a, he's going to leave a trail. So that's going to be a discussion. We're going to distinguish between two different types of people who are Boreach, two different reasons that one might be Boreach. And then at the very end of the daf, we're finally going to discuss if one wanted to make a macha'a, how would you formulate it? What words do you need to say in order for a macha'a to be effective? So that's going to be at the very end of the daf. Let us begin. Lamed Zayin Amvez, two lines from the bottom of the page. Amri Nahardai, says Gemara, Amri Nahardai, Haiman Dezavin Dikla Lechavrei, Kanile Mishipule Ad Tohoma. That a person buys a dekel, he is kona from the bottom of the dekel all the way to the depths underground. He's kona all the land underneath the dekel, directly underneath the dekel. Rashbam points out three lines from the bottom, Shafal Bi Shedekel Yechidihu, even though it's only one dekel, Utna and Afilu Bezein Lo Karka, and yet we have a Mishnah that tells us that even when you buy two dekelim, you do not get karka in that area, in that field. You only get the dekel trees. Hani mili svivos hi ilanude in lo klum. When we say that you don't get karka when you buy one or two dekelim, that means you don't get any of the karka around the dekel tree. Whereas opposed to if you buy three, then you get the area around the dekel tree, the amount of space that's shaded by the dekel tree to hold your basket when you're picking fruits from the dekel tree. But everyone would agree that directly under the tree, meaning even if you buy only one, directly under the tree, you would get the given deal in the peros of Konuliskaya Mekarkazu. That since you're buying this tree in order to live, and the tree can only live from this karka, so you get that karka even to the extent that if the tree dies, you'll be able to replace it. And it mentions that ad tohoma, to teach an additional chiddush, that even if the Bala Sada wants to dig 1,000 amos below ground, and he wants to make a cave or something, or a tunnel, 1,000 amos below ground, and it goes under that tree, he is not able to do so, he's not permitted to do so. So Tosos takes issue with this Rashbam. Tosos on the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Pirish akuntrashe meis yita acher bimakomo. That the Rashbam had said, that what does it mean you're cutting the karka underneath it? That you can plant a replacement tree if that tree were to die. Says Tosos the Kashalari. The Behedya Katani Ba Mocharis Asvina Gabi Kana Bezi Lanos De Mesu Ain Lo Karka. It says explicitly in Perek HaMocharis HaSvina, when you buy two trees, if those trees die, you get nothing. You do not have the karka. So how can we say now that, how could the Rashbam say now that when you buy a single tree, if that tree dies, you could plant another one in its spot? V'nira l'ri d'lokani makom ha'ilan ela l'inyan shalo yuchal lachbar zeh chalol tachtav. That all it means, the only chiddush of this line, is not about replacing a dead tree, it's about the last thing that the Rashbam mentioned, that the guy is not allowed to dig tunnels underneath the ground. Vakati kashal Rashba, but still, says Tosos, there's a difficulty here. Mehad tanya b'mochras abayis, kishahikdish gimli lanos b'zeh acharzeh, poda es ilanos b'shavyeyen, v'imhaya makom ha'ilan kadosh klal, ha'ilo liftos l'fi cheshbon beiz zera chomer sorem b'chabishim shkolem kesef, t'cheinu adin kishamakdish afilu mashu karka ima ilan. Tosos raises the question that the Gemara in Amochras Abayis is going to differentiate between when you're makdish three trees versus when you're makdish one tree in terms of how to do the cheshbon of being poda from hegdish. Because there's a difference when you're being poda from hegdish, a piece of karka, and when you're being poda from hegdish, something that does not involve karka at all. And we distinguish that, yes, when you're poda three trees, when you're makdish three trees, there's always karka that goes along with it. But with one tree, there is no karka that goes along with it. But according to what we're saying right now, yes, there is. There's always a mashu of karka that goes along with it. So says Tosfos Amrit Deblav Hachidachi Rav Milsayid Nardai Shapir. That anyway, the Gemara is going to reject this statement of Nardai that we just mentioned now. So it's irrelevant. Meaning, you're right. We could reject it from other places in this Masechta as well. But we're about to see that the Gemara is about to reject this statement that you're kona mishipule ad toma anyway. Or we can reconcile it anyway. There is a broader machlokas. When a person sells something, is he selling it ba'ayin yafa with the spirit of generosity where he's giving more? Or is he selling it ba'ayin ra with the spirit of stinginess where he's just giving the bare minimum? That might be the machlokas. Nardai might hold that it's ba'ayin yafa and therefore you get the ground underneath the tree, whereas that Gemara later on in Daf Ayin Beis that distinguishes between three trees versus one tree when you're Makdish might be assuming ba'ayin ra'a that you're not being so generous in terms of what exactly you're being Makdish. So it could be subject to that machlokas. Okay, back to our Gemara. Naradai had said if you buy a dekel tree, you own not only the tree but the ground under the tree 1,000 amos deep. Just simply, machlokas Rashbam and Tosfos, whether that, it definitely means the guy's not allowed to dig tunnels underneath it, but machlokas whether it also means that you're able to replace the tree when it dies. Maskefla Rava Velemele Korkama Derishka Zvinilach Akor Korkama Derishka Vizil. Why can't the original owner tell the fellow who bought the tree, it's like I sold you a Korkama Derishka, which is a type of plant that you would sell in the karka and you'd leave it until it develops and then you would take it out of the karka and leave it and that's it. You don't own any of the land. So too the tree. The fellow can say, I sold you this tree for its peros and I never sold you any of the karka. The only purpose of the leaving the tree in the karka is to nourish the tree. But once there's no tree to nourish, once the tree dries out, you got what you needed out of the tree, take the tree and get out of here. Why can't the mocher say such a thing? Ella amar Rava bebamach mastayna. Rava says, as Rashbam points out, Ella amar Rava hachu dekani lekarka shetachas ilan bebamach mastayna shetoin lemocher beferush mocharta li ha'ilan vehakarka shetachtav lita acher bemakomo. That the only time he actually owns the karka beneath the tree is if he claims to have purchased the karka beneath the tree. But it says Rava, if the fellow only claims to have purchased the tree itself, enochinami, he does not own the karka underneath the tree. The whole situation where he's ever going to own the karka underneath the tree is if he has some sort of taina that he had purchased that karka. Where's your shtar? Chaltia shnei chazaka. I already have a chazaka, and I wasn't so careful about my shtar because it's been more than 3 years. So in that sense, it's not like korkuma derishka. So says the Gemara, Amalei mark shisha b'reid of chistel ravashi, v'i korkuma derishka zavanai, my avalei l'mevid. What happens, Taka, if you give someone, if you sell someone a tree for as long as it lives? A tree can live for a very long time, for as many peros as it can produce. So he's going to be in that karka, day in, day out, by his tree, for years and years and years. But you didn't sell him the karka. And how are you going to prevent him from claiming after 3 years, oh, I own this karka, and look, I've been here, I have a chazaka for a gimel shanim. How could you stop him from developing such a chazaka if he's entitled entitled to use that tree for as long as that tree lives. So says Gemara, very simple way to stop a person from developing a chazaka. You make a macha'a, meaning every 3 years or every less than 3 years, you speak up and you say that this person, yes, he's allowed to have those peros, yes, he is the owner of the tree, but no, he is not the owner of any of the karka anywhere near the tree. And like we've seen a couple of times already before, if you don't say that a macha'a is an effective way to prevent a chazaka from being chal, how else would you explain the mashkanta desura? Hani mashkanta desura de kasabahachi b'mishlam shnin alin tepuk aradah below kesef, that the mashkanta desura, the way it works is if you owe me $1,000 and you don't have the money to pay me, what you might give me is a piece of land that's going to produce peros, $100 worth of peros each year. I'll enjoy the benefit of those peros each year, and we'll have a shtar that says that as soon as the 10 years are up, because we estimate it's going to be $100 a year for 10 years, as soon as 10 years are up and $1,000 is fully paid back, this land goes back to you. But 10 years, I'll be able to easily claim chazaka if I've been there for 10 years. So how do you prevent me from having a chazaka? If I just take that shtar mashkanta, fold it up and put it in my pocket and don't show it to anybody and claim that I have a chazaka, what? So I'm going to be believed? This idea of mashkanta desura, which solves these problems between the malva and the lova, yeah, but look what kinds of problems it creates. The rabbanon are going to make such a takana that's going to cause such a loss to a person. Now, whenever we're dealing with chazaka, there's an easy way to prevent chazaka. You could simply make a macha. So here as well, you simply have the ability to make a macha. And if you have the ability to make that macha, that's it. That's an easy way to stop the guy from having a chazaka. So the bottom line is, we had a machlokas between the Hardai and Rava. When you buy a tree, do you automatically own the karka? The Gemara seems to assume the maskana like Rava, that you do not automatically own the karka, but you can have a taina that you bought the karka. The only way to prevent the person from making such a taina and having a chazaka is by making a macha'a every less than 3 years in order to prevent the chazaka from taking place. New Mishnah, says the Mishnah, Shalosh Aratzos L'Chazaka. There are three different areas, three different lands when it comes to chazaka. Yehuda, Ve'var Yarden, Galil, three regions that are critical to differentiate between them, specifically when it comes to chazaka. Yehuda, Ever, Yarden, Galil. In what sense is it critical to differentiate between these different regions? Hayab Yehuda vehechzik begalil. If a person was in Yehuda, and the Marakama was in Yehuda, and the chazaka was happening in Galil, or the reverse, begalil vehechzik beYehuda. It's not a chazaka until they're in the same medina, until they're in the same place. The Bach takes out the word achas, but either way, it's not a chazaka until they're in the same place. If they're not in the same place, the chazaka is going to be ineffective. As Rashbam points out, that would be good enough. Why? D'shayaros mitzuyos. That we assume that between Yehuda and Galil, it's Eina Shayaros Mitzuyos. There's very restricted travel, if any. There's not much travel between the two places. The whole idea of making a macha'a is that you hope that when you make that macha'a, word will get back to the person being machzik that a macha'a was made. Once word gets back to the person that's being machzik, he will know that he better hang on to his shtar, and that he cannot discard the shtar and just rely on the chazaka. But if he's never going to find out, because there are no Shayaros Mitzuyos, so he's never going to learn that he has to be careful about his shtar. So that's the key, according to the Tanakhama. Amar Rav Yehuda lo amru shalashanim ela kadei sheyehe ba'aspamya v'yachzik shana yelchu v'yodiyu shana v'yavol shana acheres. Rav Yehuda says, no, I disagree entirely. The whole idea of 3 years of a chazaka is not because that's how long a person hangs onto a shtar and he's allowed to lose it after 3 years. No, nothing to do with it. Really, a chazaka happens immediately. I see you in my karka, I don't say anything, so that's an immediate chazaka. You don't need 3 years for that to happen. The only reason we have such a thing called cheskas gimel shanim is that is the maximum amount of time, no matter where you are, if you're at the other end of the earth, to be able to get back to the original location and make your bracha. So we say shalosh shanim, so that if the guy is in Aspamya and someone has been living there for a year, they can let him know that they could take a year to get there to let him know and a year to get back. That's the purpose of Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Rashbam adds a number of important points over here. Am Rabbi Yehuda Larmu Shalosh Shanim Lachlok Ba. Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing with the Tanakama. V'lomar De'inul Chalukos L'Chazaka. Tayyib B'Galil V'Achsub Yehuda Havi Chazaka. That he says, first of all, there's no such thing as three regions when it comes to Chazaka. If one is in Yehuda, one is in Galil, no problem. V'afilu Ayabas Pam Yeshu Rachok Malik Shanim Eretz Yisrael V'Achsub Eretz Yisrael. Have your chazaka. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll go a step further. Even if you're not even in Eretz Yisrael, you're in Aspamya, which is as far away from Eretz Yisrael as you could possibly be. It's still a good enough chazaka in 3 years. That's the whole purpose of the Gimel Shanim, so that if the person's been living there for a year, which should be enough time for word to get out in the neighborhood that this guy's been living there, that's what the year does. It gets the word out in the area, in the immediate vicinity, that this fellow is living in somebody else's field. Someone will then travel for a year to let him know, and then it'll take a year for him to get back. We'll get into in the Gemara whether Rabbi Yehuda requires the macha be made directly in front of him. So asks the Rashbam a very obvious question. What if a person lives more than a year's journey away? So nowadays we don't have such a thing. We don't have more than a couple of days journey away. But what if a person lives more than a year's journey away? Why didn't they make chazaka to the end of the earth, to the most distant place on the planet, that however long it would take to get there when traveling is difficult? So he says, because no one does that. No one leaves their house and goes that far, because you always have to be able to get back. So no one's interested in doing that. They were misaking the shalosh shanim of chazaka based on what is at the extreme edges of normal when it comes to willingness to travel. The time of Rabbi Yehuda lomishum detvas shnin mizdar inish mishtare. Rabbi Yehuda says it's got nothing to do with how long a person watches a shtar. El kedem farish kedei sheyev the time of the chazaka liday dol shavik nishtach lo laari below. The key is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the person chazak would happen immediately. I wouldn't watch you in my field for even a minute. Rabbi Yehuda holds chazak happens immediately, and if we are in the same city and I saw you in my field and I didn't say anything, that will be an immediate chazaka. So two fundamental machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. How long does it take to have a chazaka? Is it really immediate, or does it really take 3 years? And does it make a difference whether travel is common, whether you're in a distant location or you're not in a distant location? So says Gemara, Maika Savar Tanakama. What exactly does the Tanakama hold about making a macha? Again, the Tanakama is the one that said that you have all of these different regions. I forgot to mention the little Tosos, El Kadesh Yeheba Spamya, Tos points out, Da'ad Sham Yesh Malik Shana V'yos Mikan Ein Derech Lach V'yos Mikarko V'im Hirchik Yos Low Plug. He also points out the same as Rashbam, that it's a low plug, that we're not gonna, it's not normal to travel more than a year's journey, and therefore it's not Baba Cheshbon when the Rabbanan decided on 3 years as being the time for a chazaka. But anyway, so says Gemara, what does the Tanakama hold? And the Tanakama says that there are these three regions and you can't develop a chazaka beyond your region. What exactly does the Tanakama hold in terms of making a macha'a? How does one effectively make a macha'a? If you're able to make a macha'a shalobafanav, and that counts as a macha'a, that counts as having spoken up and putting the person on notice, so why does it matter that you're in Yehuda and he's in Galil or vice versa? You're allowed to make a macha'a shalobafanav. And if you hold the macha shalobafanav is ineffective, why do you have to say three regions? No, there should be two regions, where the person is and anywhere else. So even if you're in Yehuda, but you're not right in front of him, then it shouldn't be a good macha. Meaning, isn't this whole issue of being at a distant location from the person who's making the chazaka completely dependent on the issue of macha shel abafanav? Why are we making up these three regions, certain distances? It really, l'chora, has nothing to do with it. So answers Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba Rama Lamrav, Liolam Ksav Macha shel abafanav Havi Macha, U'mishasein B'shas Chirim Shanu. We assume that a macha shel abafanav is a valid macha, and our Mishnah is talking about b'shas chirim. Our Mishnah is talking about in a situation where travel is not easy, where it's been restricted, and you can't get from one place to the other. So normally it is a good macha, but it's only a good macha because you assume that word is going to get back. But if there's no one there to bring word back, so then it's not a valid macha. If you look at Tosas, macha shel abafanav, Tema, Tosas says, I don't understand. The Bekal Duchte Nakat Macha, Va'amailu Nakat Chazaka Shalom B'fanav Havi Chazaka. What's the ikur really over here? Meaning, two things need to be found out. First of all, the Marakama has to find out that somebody is in fact living in his land, and then he has to say something about it, and the guy living there has to find out that the original owner has said something about it. So why is the emphasis on the Macha, on the second step? Shouldn't the emphasis be on the first step? How are you ever going to know that anybody's living in your land? Can that happen, shelo b'fanav? Can you have a chazaka shelo b'fanav? So it says, it seems that it's the wrong point of emphasis. So it says, no, because the ikur is really about the macha, not the chazaka. Typically, when you are far away from your nechasim, you will constantly be asking about your nechasim. You're going to be interested in what's going on in the property, what's going on with your nechasim. Aval macha in lakol kol kach sheina machzik mechazer im mocha lo balakarka. But typically, if you believe that you actually bought a piece of land and that's going to be your claim, so you'll say, well, why would I have asked if anyone's been making a macha? I don't think when I buy a house that the previous owner is going to stand with a picket sign outside the house saying that it's really his house and that I shouldn't. Why would I think to even ask such a thing? So that's why leficha chen chaskos chaskos. So if the fellow is making a macha in a way that I'm not going to hear about it, then that's not a valid macha. But a chazaka, he'll always hear about. The chazaka will always be found out. The question is really about the macha. So that's an interesting ha'ara that Tosa says. We're so used to when learning in yeshivas, chazaka is about the macha shalom b'fanav. It's not, the l'chora should have really been about the chazaka, but it's not because the chazaka memela is going to be heard, since people are always researching whether anyone is doing anything with their properties. Frankly, Gemara, Umayshli Yehuda v'Galil Dinakit, of all places on earth to have mentioned, why specifically do we talk about Yehuda and Galil as the different regions for Chazaka? So says Gemara, HaKamashmilan, it's teaching us a Chiddush. Distam Yehuda v'Galil, Kishas Chirim Dami. That Yehuda v'Galil in general typically has a status of Shas Chirim. We typically assume that it's like a time where travel is restricted, because that's what normally happens in Yehuda v'Galil. Tosos asks, Vim Tomar, Umayshna Degabe Get, Amar Bereish Gitten, HaMevi Get Mi Medina Le Medina Be'eretz Yisrael, Ein Tzorech Lomar B'Fani Nechtav, O B'Fani Nechtav, Mishum Kivin Dika Ole Regalim Mishkach Shchichi Lekaimo, Vafil B'Zman Shein Beis Medish Kivin Dika Bat Eidin M'Dekvi Mishkach Shchichi. Doesn't the Gemara say in Maseches Gitten that if you bring a get from anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, even from Medina to Medina, even from one region to the other, it's not necessary to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. What's the purpose of saying b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? Machlokas. But we're going to assume right now that the purpose of declaring when you bring a get b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, is that is a kiyum get. That is a way to verify that the get is in fact valid. And if you do not do that, then they're going to have to be mekayim aget b'chosmav. They're going to have to find people who recognize the signatures and be mekayim the get. And that is very difficult to do when there aren't people from the location where the get was written readily available over here to recognize the signatures. But the halacha is in Eretz Yisrael,
travel happens so much, people are always going to Yerushalayim to be on the regel, and even after the Churban Bayis, people are always going to Yerushalayim because of Batei Din that are kavua there. So you don't have to worry about being mekayim the get yourself as the shliach lo lachas haget. You have the right to assume that the Beis Din will be able to easily be mekayim the get anyway by finding people who can verify the signatures. But the whole assumption is that within Eretz Yisrael, I don't care where you live, Yehuda v'Galil, doesn't make a difference, that within Eretz Yisrael there will always be people available to be mekayim the get. That's why you don't need simfani nechtam, fani nechtam. But in our Gemara we're saying, no, shaschirim, stam Yehuda v'Galil shaschirim, it's travel restrictions, people are not readily available to be from one in one place and the other. V'yesh lomar devadai gavi get mitzuyin l'kayma afilu miyehuda v'Galil l'fi she'isha regila l'chazar acharei dekiyum. Avalachi lav d'shkichi tuva li'olam lo yishama macha'oso she'na machzik rogel l'chazar mochalo v'imlav. Hilchah b'shiur se'olagon batidinim lo sagi. Tulsa says, do people travel from one location to the other? Sort of. A little bit. Not that much. So in terms of finding people to be mekayim aget, enough to find people to be mekayim aget, because when it comes to being mekayim aget, the woman will look for people who can be mekayim aget. When she looks, she will find. There's enough travel that you will find people if you look for such people. But when it comes to hearing a macha that was made against you, like we just said in the Tosfos in Amud Aleph, people don't look for someone to make a macha against them. If they're not looking for someone to make a macha against them, in order for them to hear the macha, there has to be a significant amount of travel from one place to the other. Not just a little bit of travel from one place to the other. It has to be enough of a crowd that comes from one place to the other to create enough of a tumult that I'm going to hear about it. I would imagine that nowadays all of this has to change in terms of the way we communicate, how quickly things get communicated, how easy it is to make a tumult about anything. I would imagine that all of this has to change. V'im tomar v'ada aminin hasam rav sheshes matzrich v'rava matzrich hafilu b'osa shchuna uparach v'rava v'damar l'fi shein edem etzlin l'kaimo u'mashani shayni b'nei b'chuz d'naiti atu minemet b'machuz machaz shalo b'fan of lavi mechavi tzorach lava l'fan of limchos. You know, the Gemara over there says that in Machuza there's not that much travel from one place to the other. People don't move around that much. So what, you're going to say that affects the machal shalom b'fanav as well, even within Machuza? V'yishlomer delo dami, dekashachosim al get b'machuza v'holchon lehen, ein derech sheyitzaku be'ir, anachnu chesamnu al get ploni. Av macha derech halichasam regilus lomar ploni micha, v'shomen acher mat shenishma b'beis ha-machzik. If you happen to sign a shtar, you happen to sign a get, you don't go around blabbing to everybody how you signed a get. Oh, you know what I did yesterday? I signed a get. Every stop, every rest stop along the way, oh, the most interesting thing, I signed a get. It's not the kind of thing that people talk about. So word isn't going to get out as quickly. But if you if you've heard of someone living in someone else's property and the original owner made a macha'a, so that you're going to get the word out. You're trying to get the word out. That's the whole purpose of the macha'a, to be able to get the word out. Okay, new discussion. Top line of Lamed Chesam Beis. Amar Rav Yudah Merav. Ein machzikin benichse bareach. A person cannot make a chazaka on the property of someone who has run away. So when I said this statement of Rav in front of Shmuel, and Rashbam says this must have been after Rav died, when Rav Yehuda came to learn by Shmuel, Rav died before Shmuel. The Gemara says in Shechitas Chul, and the Rashbam points out that as long as Rav was alive, Shalach le Rav Yochan lekadim Rabbeinu Shebavel, ki noch nafshei Rav, Shalach le Shmuel lekadim Chavirenu, that Rav Yochan used to send the Shailas to Rav when Rav was alive. Rav died, he would then send to Shmuel and address him differently. Rav he referred to as Rabbeinu, Shmuel he referred to as Chavirenu. You wonder if that relates a little bit to the idea that Rav Tanahu Upalik. You know, Rav was a contemporary with Shmuel, he was a contemporary with Rabbi Yochanan, yet we never find Rabbi Yochanan Tanahu Upalik, that Rabbi Yochanan has the status of a Tana. We never find Shmuel Tanahu Upalik. Rav Tanahu Palig. Rav, we find, has the status of a Tana. So you see, in the way that they addressed him, that he was viewed as by Rabbi Yochanan as Rabbeinu, whereas Shmuel, Chavirenu. Shmuel was not on the level of Rav, at least in terms of the respect from his peers. So maybe that's why Rav was able to be a Tanu Upalik. That's a broader discussion we had recently, whether why it is that an Amora doesn't argue on a Tana. He's not allowed to argue on a Tana, or they just decided not to, and Rav didn't decide not to. What exactly happened between the generations of Amoraim, of Tanaim, and the generation of Amoraim? But bottom line is, so it was Rav is one that said Ein Machzika Milch Seborech. So after Rav died, they told Shmuel, yeah, Rav said that there was no way to make a chazaka when a person runs away. And Shmuel says, I don't understand that at all. V'chilimchos b'fanav l'tzarech. What, the guy has to make a macha in front of him? That you that if he ran away, there's no way to make a macha? So says Rav, my kamashmalan. What's Rav teaching us? Macha shalom b'fanav lav yamacha. Rav must be saying that, yeah, you need to make a macha b'fanav. And if you do it shalom b'fanav, it's not a valid macha. So if the guy is boreach, the guy had run away, he's not going to be able to make a macha b'fanav. And that's why there's no chazaka. But we know Rav doesn't hold that way. V'am Rav macha shalom b'fanav. Have your macha'a. We have on good authority that Rav holds macha shalom b'fanav is a valid macha'a. So what's going on? How can Rav say that you're not able to be machzik b'lich seborech? Presumably because macha shalom b'fanav lo have your macha'a. Rav doesn't hold that way. So says Gemara, Rav time and time and done come parish v'leilo sfirle. Enochinami, Rav doesn't hold that way. He's just explaining the sheet of the Tanakama in our Mishnah. That the Tanakama of our Mishnah holds that a macha shalom b'fanav is not a good macha'a. But Rav himself, enochinami, would not pass like the Tanakama of the Mishnah. Rashbam points out about the sixth medium-sized line, V'hai d'nokat boreach, the reason it says dafka, a case of boreach, lav dafka, du'a din l'kol marchike artsam, elu urcha d'milz d'nokat, shein d'arach m'yadam l'aqsa b'karka shalachayim b'gezel, elu b'karka boreach. Meaning, the way we're explaining the Gemara right now, this comment of Rav right now, it's really got nothing to do with the fact that the guy is boreach, that the guy had run away. The point is, he's not here. It's irrelevant whether he ran away or did not run away. But the most common case where someone is going to waltz into someone else's property and live there and claim ownership of it after some time is if the person had to be boreach. I mean, that's your best bet. When you see that the fellow had to skip town, so that's your best bet to take over someone's property. So that's just the most common case. But really, the way we're explaining the machlokas Rav and Shmuel right now, or the discussion of Rav and Shmuel, is that it's irrelevant whether he was boreach or not boreach. The point is just that he's not there right now, and therefore the machal shalom b'fanav is the issue. Now the Yerushalmi quotes that Rav and Shmuel argue exactly the way we have presented it so far about machal shalom b'fanav, and Rav holds ein machzikin b'nichsei boreach, and Shmuel holds that there is a chazaka b'nichsei boreach, meaning at least Rav explaining the Tanakama says that ein machzikin b'nichsei boreach. Shmuel says yes. In Melachim Beis, the story is told of the Isha Hashunamis. The less famous story of the Isha Hashunamis is told in Melachim Beis Perechas as follows, that she lived in the land of the Plishtim for 7 years. She came back home to Shunam, and she found that her house, her fields, other people have taken over the entire property. She was gone for 7 years. So she went to the Melech to complain. My house is gone. My field is taken away. All these people have just moved in. And the Melech said to one of the officers, give everything back to her. So the Yerushalmi comments, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kra, meaning this pasuk, Mesayeya Lema Demar Shmuel, is a raya to Mar Shmuel. So what does it mean it's a raya to Shmuel? So the Mefarshim explain that from that raya, we have a raya to Shmuel, that there is a chazaka b'nichsei barech, that all these people that moved into, she was bareach, all these people that moved into her property do have a chazaka. How do you see that they do? I would think you would see that they don't. You have to return all the property. So the Mefarshim over there on the Yerushalmi explain, why did she go to the king? But that's an odd place to go when you have a taina and dine mamonis that someone has taken your property. You don't go to a king, you go to a beis din. So she realized that a beis din wasn't going to help, that a beis din was not going to be able to help her because there is a chazaka b'nichsei borech. She needed to go to a king because a king can do as he sees fit, whatever he thinks, whatever he wants to do. So that's a raya to Shmuel from the fact that she went to the king, that she went to the melech to deal with this situation is the raya to Shmuel. But then the Gemara is another presentation of the entire discussion over here. Says the Gemara, the Ikeda Amri, another version of this whole discussion. Amr Vidom Rav, Machzikim b'nichsei boreach. that Rav says you can have a chazaka, you do have a chazaka in the Nichsei Boreach. Ki Amrisa Kamei de Shmuel, when this was said in front of Shmuel, Armeli Pshita v'chi limchus b'fanav v'tzarech, Shmuel didn't argue, he just said, I don't need the likes of Rav to tell me that you can be machzik b'nichsei boreach. Obviously, you don't need a macha b'fanav. Macha shalo b'fanav is a perfectly valid form of macha. So it's obvious that you're machzik b'nichsei boreach. So says Rav Mai Kamashmalan, Macha shalo b'fanav havi macha, v'am Rav chadazimna. And Taka, it's a good kasha, meaning Rav himself actually said already previously that a macha shalo b'fanav is a valid macha. Why would he need to repeat that by saying machzikin b'nichsei boreach? Good, of course, machzikin b'nichsei boreach. We already said macha shalo b'fanav is a valid macha. So says Mar, no, elaha kamashmalan. Da'afilu micha b'fnei beiz she'in yichon l'nomer lo havi macha. Rav's adding an additional chiddush that not only can you make a macha to not in front of the person who's being machzik, you could even make a macha to people who will not be able to get to the machzik themselves, who will never be able to report it directly back to the machzik. That Shmuel holds that the macha could be shalom b'fanav, but it's got to be in front of people who at least will be able to report it back to the machzik. That it would not be a valid macha if the people you are telling it to, you're talking to the wall, you're telling it to people who aren't going to be able to get the information back. And Rav disagrees. Rav says even if you're telling it to the people who themselves will not be able to get the information back, telling it to two people is sufficient, because v'rav chavrcha chavre islay v'chavre de chavrcha chavre islay, that it will always get back because people have friends and people talk, and therefore the word is always going to get back. You don't have to worry about whether the word is going to be able to get back. I should have pointed out before that when it comes to in machzikin b'nichsei bareach, that we said, so the Rashbam had said in the first lashon, stam boreach is just the most common case where it's shalo b'fanav, but there's nothing about boreach. If you look at Tosos, Dibra Machzalei Machzikim v'nichsei boreach, on the third line of that Tosos, v'dafka b'boreach, avol b'inish da'alma havya chazaka, she'yachal lova l'makam sh'machzik sham v'limchos, avol boreach in a rashay lova makam sh'omeid, lova y'machal shalo b'fanav. That dafka boreach is different than people who happen to be traveling. People who happen to be traveling can get back. A boreach can't come back. And if you assume like Rabbi Yehuda that you need a macha b'fanav, that you need to come back to make the macha, so then there's going to be a big difference between a boreach who cannot come back and others who can come back. Anyway, Amar Rava, Hilchasa, so what are we passing at the end of the day? Can you or can you not be machzik b'nichsei boreach? Hilchasa ein machzikin b'nichsei boreach, u'macha shalo b'fanav hav yamacha'a. You cannot have a chazaka in the property of someone who has run away, but a macha'a that's not done in front of you is a valid macha'a. Says Mar Tarti, isn't that a contradiction? Meaning the very reason that you cannot be machzik b'nichsei boreach is because the person cannot make a macha'a because he can't get back here. But if he is able to make a macha'a shalo b'fanav, then shouldn't your chazaka be a valid chazaka? So says Mar, of course that's a contradiction. Those are two separate statements about two separate circumstances. Lo kasha, kan boreach machmas mamon, kan boreach machmas mardin. Why is the guy being boreach? If he's running away because of money, or if he's running away because of his life. If he's running away because he's afraid that he killed someone, and he's afraid that they're going to kill, the Gol Adam is going to kill him, so then he's not going to come back at all, then ein machzikim b'nichsei boreach. Then he's going to be extraordinarily careful to make sure that his location is not found out. He's not going to want to draw any attention to himself. No macha'a is going to happen, and certainly no macha'a is going to work. Whereas if he's running away as a result of money, so you're in his field, you know, he's going to want to, he may draw some attention to himself, but he's going to want to be on record as having made the macha. There is a machlokas rishonim. When a person's boreach machmas mardin, is he not going to be mocha at all? Or maybe he's just not mocha in front of someone who's able to tell it to the machzik. The Ramban writes that a boreach machmas mardin is so afraid of getting killed, he's not going to be make a macha in front of people who will tell the machzik, because he's afraid the machzik will be able to to follow the trail and find him. But other people who aren't going to talk to the machzik, he's not afraid that he'll be able to be found. Whereas the Rashba says that no, he doesn't want to draw any attention whatsoever. How do we pass on the halacha? The Ramban writes that the halacha is like Shmuel, that micha b'fnei shnayim, that are not able to tell it, it's not a valid macha'a, and even Rava holds like Shmuel, because the Gemara says, is miyashiv the stira in Rava, that a b'reach machmas mardin is mocha, only in front of people that are not able to tell it, it's not a valid chazaka, and generally, halach k'shmuel bedini. So the Ramban says, l'chora, we should pass on like Shmuel over here, but then the Ramban changes his mind, and he says, maybe we should pass on like Rav, because the Rif passes like Rav, that if you're mocha b'fnei shnei b'nei adam she'enim yicholim lomar, that it is a valid macha because of the svara, chavra islay, etc. That's svara we certainly paskin la alachas. That's why the Ramban vacillates over here. Should we paskin like Shmuel or should we paskin like Rav? Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with how one should formulate a macha.